Think back to some of the financial advice you might have gotten from your parents growing up. It might have gone something like, go to college so you can have the career you want. Once you've started your career, start saving early to buy a house in the place you want to live. Our next guest says, sounds good, but that advice may not work for everyone these days, and that it's time to maybe make some new money rules for the realities of the current generation. Julia Carpenter covers personal finance for the Wall Street Journal. Her recent piece is titled, Your Parents' Financial Advice is Kind of Wrong. Julia, welcome to Central Time.
Hey there, thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into some of the specific items, big picture, are things just plain different for, say, Generation Z and younger millennials than they might have been for their parents' generation?
Totally. I mean, yeah, that's kind of the summary of the big picture. It's just a different kind of world and a different kind of economy.
And you actually talked to your own parents as part of your research for this. So how did that conversation go?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I was a little bit nervous to talk to them. They obviously know that I think about this stuff all the time and I write about it for a living, but it was really funny. I was going over with them, you know, I'm going to be sharing some of these personal things. And there was a period of time where I thought I would maybe cut it from the piece. And they both said, no, keep us in the piece. We want to be able to see ourselves in the Wall Street Journal. So I thought, okay, wow. All right. And then this is the permission I needed.
Well, let's start then with student loan debt. Not everybody goes to college, of course, but the idea is generally college is a worthwhile investment, however much college you need for a job. But you write, and I hadn't realized the numbers, the cost of tuition has skyrocketed even compared to the rate of inflation. And of course, student loan debt, that is a big problem out there. Talk about that landscape today.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the numbers that was really surprising to, I think, all of us when we were digging deeper into this piece, because you know that it's different. You know that prices have increased. You understand all of these things have changed. But I think for so many people, at least so many parents, they don't think, okay, you know, in 1979, somebody who attended a private college spent almost $100,000 less than someone who attended in 2019. Like, they don't understand the vastness of that difference. And I spoke with one woman for this piece. You know, she says if she could do it all over again, she would be so much more cognizant of that when she was 18, when she was first going to college.
And talk about how the weight of student loan debt hangs over many people from the last, I don't know, generation and a half, two generations or so.
Oh, totally. I mean, as I was talking to people for this piece, and I talked with so many different people from so many different backgrounds, but as I was talking with people for this piece, they kept saying, you know, my student loan debt is always there. You know, even credit card debt, you know, my debt is always there. It's coloring every single decision I make. It's always the number one thing I think about before I think about any of these other goals. I think about being debt free.
You talked to one of the people you talked to said she, I think, had been feeling anxiety about money since age, correct me if I'm wrong, 11.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and her name is Liz, and she was a great person to talk to for this piece. And the thing with Liz is that she'd been thinking about it since age 11 because her parents did something that a lot of parents don't. And it's great. They were open with her about money. They started talking with her, you know, when she was younger about what it means to budget, what it means to do this. But it also kind of created, I think, this specter that, you know, she was always worried about having enough money. She was always worried about having, you know, the good job, the being on the right track, being on all of these things. So it just kind of lingers, and it's something that she still doesn't feel free from.
Talking to Julia Carpenter from the Wall Street Journal. Her recent piece is titled, Your Parents' Financial Advice is Kind of Wrong. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you're a parent or the child of a parent. What did you talk about when it came to money, to planning, to school and debt, to buying a house? And is there a generation gap? The realities are different as you see them. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Julia, before we get back to some of the advice that maybe needs an update, at the end of your piece in the Wall Street Journal, you had kind of an invitation for readers to share their own stories as they relate to your piece. Did you get a lot of feedback from people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the response has been really overwhelming. I'm still combing through responses and responding to people one-on-one. I mean, it's of course, like a major flashpoint for so many people, but it's also just in the course of my reporting, people were saying, this is something I've been thinking about for a long time. I just don't know how to put my finger on it. And even parents were saying that to me, too. You know, they were saying, there's just something that we're not able to talk about this. There's something we're missing here. And so I think for a lot of people, this was something that they could point to and say, yes, that's me. That's my life.
So getting back to the student loan debt, what are people, what kind of conclusions are people coming to? Is it, I wish I hadn't gone to college at all? Is it, I should have gone for a cheaper college, or I should have put off grad school, but my undergrad was okay? What kind of different perspectives are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, we're not saying when we talk about these things that college isn't a great experience or college isn't worth it. I think, and there have been so many pieces I know that you've read and we've all read that, you know, about if college is worth it, what kind of degree is worth it, what degrees pay off the most, et cetera. But I think what I've been hearing from people is that people say they just wish they had had the facts going into it, that either they would have thought about, okay, if I want to do this, if I want to pursue this career, I don't need grad school, or I do need grad school, or I need to be prepared to take out loans for grad school, or people saying, I wish I had thought about the kind of college I went to. I wish I had gone to a state school, or I wish I had done a few years at a community college and then transferred. If people had had kind of a bigger sense of the cost of all of this and of what a degree really, really ends up setting you back.
Let's move on now to another milestone, or what people used to think of as a milestone. When you buy that first house, and that was the advice I've definitely heard other people's families who have said, you know, a house is always a great investment. It only goes up. It's always worth it. What are you seeing these days?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's really hard, and we talked about this a little bit a second ago, is that rent is increasing at kind of an astronomical rate. Rents hit an all-time high earlier this year. And when that's happening, combined with stagnating wages, which we've seen also for the last few decades, stagnating wages and housing prices are increasing at the rate they're increasing, it's just so much harder to save for a house. So I think when you have this student loan debt that for many people they feel is yoking them to a certain kind of life or to a certain kind of plan, coupled with this like huge goal that they feel isn't even attainable for them, they just throw up their hands and they say, okay, how am I even supposed to get close to this? Like, this is what I've been told to want my whole life. How am I supposed to even plan for it? Or maybe I don't even want it anymore. Maybe I would rather put my money to do something else.
And even when people can afford a house, you talked to, I think, some experts who said, yeah, maybe it isn't the best investment depending on your life circumstance.
Totally, totally. I mean, even if you can scrape together the money for a down payment, I spoke with one financial planner who said she talks to people and, you know, if she knows that they either can't make the mortgage or they're going to completely exhaust their savings and, you know, completely exhaust their emergency savings in order to make that down payment, she really cautions them against it. And especially with so many people moving jobs and moving locations, or at the very beginning of your career when you're not sure where you're going to live for a long time, or even not a long time, but just for a significant period of time, it's not always the wisest investment.
And let's talk again about the generation gap on these two things, the college costs and the housing costs. For an earlier generation, housing prices were maybe cheaper. The 10% deposit might have been the rule. And you could theoretically and believably work your own way through college. A lot of those things just aren't true anymore.
Right, exactly. It's just a different kind of set of circumstances. And so if you are presuming that circumstances haven't changed, then you're naturally presuming the goals haven't changed. But when the circumstances have so radically changed, then the goals kind of have to adjust as a result.
We're talking to Julia Carpenter from the Wall Street Journal about why she says the current generation needs some new money rules. The old rules, the advice maybe parents gave kids, don't always apply. Julia, you write that some of the old advice still does apply. What kind of things maybe are a little more consistent from one generation to the next?
Totally. I mean, I think one of the things that will never go away is just the importance of saving, period. It's really hard to develop a savings habit when you feel frustrated by all of the goals that you set or by the expectations of those goals. But saving, period, having that cushion, having that asset, it's one of those things that will never go out of style, I think.
One other issue you talk about in your piece where it's maybe a little different now, the idea of wanting to live in the city you want to live in to pursue a career. Places are getting so expensive these days. You found that a lot of people you talk to are changing their expectations and what looks like a good place to live in.
Yeah, totally. One of my colleagues, Ben Eisen, he did an amazing story looking at the places that people are leaving for. So cities like Austin or Nashville, Portland, Las Vegas, these cities are seeing a huge boom when people leave traditional job centers like New York or San Francisco. And I think one of the things that's really interesting for me, at least in talking to people, is that it's really a trade-off. People have an amazing job in a place like New York or a place like San Francisco or LA, but they have to then think, can I afford to live there? Do I want to live there long term? What's my end goal in being here? If this is my home, if New York is my home, like it is for me, you know, then what am I going to be walking into? Like, what do I need to do in order to set that expectation?
Well, let's bring on our callers now. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi. Yeah, you were just talking about saving. And I'm about 60 years old right now. And I remember not too long ago, at least to me, that interest rates were somewhere between 6 and 10%. So it's twice as hard. Actually, it's 12 times as hard to save up because now you're lucky to get a 0.5%, even if you're putting thousands and thousands of dollars into an account. In the old days, 10%, 5 years, with like $5,000.
Tom, thanks a lot for the call. That's a great point. Interest rates are so low that it can be hard to save and make any money doing it, Julia.
Yeah, I mean, I think the change in interest rates is also something that would talk about, you know, a conversation between parents. It's a completely different conversation.
Tom, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go now to Brandon with us in Oshkosh. Brandon, hi.
Yeah, hey there. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was just going to kind of play devil's advocate here a little bit. So I bought a house when I was 20, and that was in the year 2007. saved up for 2 years working, 18, 19 years old, purchased that house. You know, it was still a buyer's market at that time. Obviously, it got a little bit better in the years to follow. Went to college when I was 23. Just recently sold my first home and, you know, made about $45,000, you know, because the market has turned around. And I don't just kind of want the younger listeners to consider keeping the same goals that are now that we've been talking about potentially changing, but more or less just reorganizing.
Brandon, thanks a lot for the call. So he says he didn't do things in quite the normal order, but also can be a matter of timing, Julia, when you hit the job market, when you bought that house, just when prices were low, just in time for them to go back up. Did you hear people saying, you know, just because of this 1 or 2 years here and there, it really set their course?
Yeah, and I think also really relevant to what Brandon is saying, so much of this is about disentangling the goals from expectations, if that makes sense. It sounds like that was a big goal for Brandon, and he accomplished it in owning a home or getting multiple degrees in higher education. These are goals for many people, but I think it's important to separate them from expectations. If you feel like, okay, I have to do this, I have to be on this path, I'm failing if I'm not on this path, then you're setting yourself up for failure. But if you're thinking, I'm on this path because I want to be on this path, I'm meeting these goals because they're my dreams, they're my goals, that's a totally different set of circumstances.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Julia Carpenter is with us. Julia covers personal finance for the Wall Street Journal. We're talking about her piece, Your Parents' Financial Advice is Kind of Wrong, talking about what's different for current generations as they look at student loan debt, home buying, renting, and more. 800-642-1234 is the number to call if you want to join in. Julia, before we go back to our callers, based on all the people you've talked to, including your own parents, do you have advice on how to talk across generations about money issues when we all maybe come from different landscapes?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that was really helpful for me in talking with my parents was to talk to them about how they access those goals, how they reach those milestones, and then to kind of walk them through what it would take for me to do the same thing. Because one of the big myths I really wanted to explore in this piece is the idea that frugality alone is the only thing keeping young people from these goals. And I think a lot of people think, well, you know, I know that my daughter loves her Starbucks. If she didn't go to Starbucks every day, then she'd be able to own a house in no time and would be on her way to the 2.5 kids in the picket fence. But when you look at the reality of some of these numbers and the reality of some of these gaps, it's not just a Starbucks size gap. It's often tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I think talking about the easiness or the, not even the easiness, I should say, but just the difference in reaching those paths and what those look like, and talking about the specific set of circumstances each of you is working with, that for me was a huge game changer.
And you did talk to some people about maybe a modified frugality, to not to be a spendthrift, but still take some resources and enjoy life a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference, and I think I even say exactly this in the piece, but it's so true. There's a big difference between somebody who saves nothing and splurges constantly or buys things that they don't need, and then somebody who saves, tries to live in a way that feels comfortable for them, occasionally goes to brunch with their friends, goes on trips with friends, but is still doing the quote-unquote right things.
Let's bring on another caller now. Nate is with us in Wanakee. Nate, hi.
Thank you. It's a great program. I just want to bring a little different perspective to fine-tune this a little bit. When you talk about the advice your parents give you, it depends upon what your parents' experience has been. I'm an older guy. I'm in my 70s. So I have gone through a more traditional background, but there are a lot of things that are the same. I knew that it was cheaper for me to go to a state university than it would to be go to the University of Wisconsin in Madison. I also knew that I could go to a technical school, and that would be even cheaper than going to the University of Wisconsin, state university. I knew that way back when. The other thing that's important, I think, in the advice is to make decisions early as you can, with as much validity as you can. I understand that people change their minds, but if a kid can figure out in his teen years what he seems to trip his trigger and that he's most interested in, then he can lean toward the kind of educational situation that would be the cheapest for him to be able to get his education. I figured out that the last 2 years of my college education, I could drive from home and even save more money on my college education than I had been saving the first 2 years.
Nate, thanks a lot for the call, Julia. So try to think ahead in those teen years and especially those college years and look for chances to save.
Yeah, and I think what you just said about knowing what you want and knowing what you want to do, those are really huge first steps. I think a lot of people don't take the time to ponder that. They instead think, all right, this is what I'm supposed to want, instead of thinking, no, maybe I would drop all of that to live in a big city, or no, maybe my goal is to do this first and then that next, to kind of reorder it, like one of those earlier callers mentioned.
Nate, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. That said, as a parent, I'd have a hard time giving that advice to kids because I didn't figure out what I wanted to do until, you know, upwards of 30. So like, I wasn't there at 18.
That's funny. Yeah, I think a lot of this is about self-exerted pressure. You know, people hit, you said 30, you know, I'm 28. People hit 30 and think, oh my gosh, I don't have my life together. I don't know what I'm doing. Why am I even trying? It's kind of this self-defeatist cycle. And it's something that a lot of habit experts say is ultimately really self-sabotaging.
Yeah. Coming back to some of the advice you share from various financial experts you talk to, the big answer is not just to throw up your hands and give up.
Yeah. And this is something that Ann Helen Peterson has written about really beautifully for BuzzFeed and in her upcoming book. But it's kind of a paralysis when you're looking at these monumental structural challenges. You think, OK, well, what can I do? You know, I might as well not even try. I might as well just have my Starbucks, give up on the house, you know, and feel miserable.
Well, what can people do, again, based on the people you talk to start setting some kind of tangible goals? And again, not just give up.
Yeah, I mean, I think a really small thing, and it's a small thing to start, but it can make a really big difference, is to automate your savings. It's what I do. It's what a lot of my friends do. It's something I recommend constantly. When you automate a deposit to your savings account, and that could be a high yield savings account, or it can just be something that you don't see, something you don't check regularly, so you're not, quote unquote, you know, missing the money or trying to move it back and forth constantly, that can get you started. And I also think that a lot of people, if their employer offers a 401k match, a lot of people, when they don't take advantage of that, are basically leaving money on the table.
So based on your work, talking to people and experts and now hearing stories from your readers after the fact, does this make you think of your trajectory and your money life any differently, if I can ask a personal question, Julia?
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, it makes me think so much more about the things that would frustrate me in my own savings habits, or the things that frustrate me in my own financial goals. You know, talking with those habit experts really kind of affirmed for me that you can have these momentary setbacks. You know, you can take the big trip that ends up being more expensive than you wanted, or you can spend more in 1 week than and kind of screw up your weekly budget. And the important thing is to set yourself fail safes for that, but also to stay on the track, because ultimately it's the long game you're playing.
Julia, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Julia Carpenter. She covers personal finance for the Wall Street Journal. She was with us to talk about her piece, Your Parents' Financial Advice is Kind of Wrong. can still share your thoughts and experiences, head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page.